I was reading the other day about this guy who was on diet. His biggest temptation was donuts. And as he drove down the street, he prayed, "Lord, if it is your will that I have a donut this morning, let there be parking right in front of the bakery." Later, his wife asked him if he had stopped for a donut, and he told her about his prayer. "Well, what happened?" she persisted. "There was a parking place right in front of the door, just as I prayed. I spotted it on my 8th time around the block." We say, friends, that we want to know God's will. But sometimes it seems what we really want to know is how can we bend God's will to ours. Most of the time, our problem is a lack of obedience to what God wants, not a lack of knowledge. What Mark Twain said of the Bible applies to God's will in general. Mark Twain said, "It's not those parts that I don't understand that give me the biggest problem. It's the parts that I do understand." So what is God's will, friends? What does God want? Well, Paul, when writing to Pastor Timothy, urges him, as well as all of us, to improve in our spiritual lives and thereby align with the will of God for our lives. Paul gives us some specific things that we can do in 1 Timothy 2 verse 1 to 7. Paul said, "I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. And for this reason," Paul adds, "I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. And a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles." Friends, the last 2 weeks we focused on verse 1 and 2. We put it on there, where Paul says, "I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority." And then, comma, he said, "I urge," although he didn't write it, but it means, "I urge that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness." So God wants us to pray, and God wants us to live holy lives, godly lives. Then, friends, God wants everyone to be saved. Amen? Amen. God wants everyone to be saved. Note verses 3 and 4. "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." God's desire, friends, is the salvation of all people. He wants everyone to be saved. And for that to happen, the gospel has to be shared. Amen? Do you agree with that? The gospel is the good news about what Jesus Christ has done to reconcile sinners to God. The gospel is not about making us feel better or about our earthly happiness. The gospel is not about making us healthy and wealthy and wise. The gospel is about how men and women, friends, who have messed up their lives by disobeying God, can be made right with God now and for eternity. That's the gospel. The gospel is about what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. He came to seek and to save the lost. That's how you became saved. Somewhere, sometime, someone told you that Jesus died for you, that Jesus came so that he could reconcile you with God the Father. You heard it. You believed it. You accepted it. And you obeyed the gospel. And you were saved. Amen. Did you see that? That's what was true of you can also be true for anyone. God wants all people saved. All means all, not just a select few. And our job as believers, friends, is to present the message through our words and actions so that all people have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Jesus wants to save the person who only broke one of the Ten Commandments. But he also wants to save those who have broken them all. Jesus wants to save respectable people and the worst type of people. Jesus wants to save people that even you don't like. See? Yes. God truly and honestly wants all people to be saved. In fact, the Bible closes with this assurance in Revelation 22:17. The Bible says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirst come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." Friends, God's will is truth-based. God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Salvation comes, friends, from hearing and believing the gospel. Verses 5 and 6 of our text says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people." Friends, all of us, listen, no one is exempt. All of us need to be concerned about personal evangelism. Research done by the Barna Research Group tells us that an average of only 35% of Christian adults feel that it is their personal responsibility to share their religious beliefs with others. What happened to the other 65%? We each have a responsibility to share our faith with others. And the title of my sermon is, "I urge you, share the gospel." This is the will of God for you, friends. We have a mission to the world and to those who don't believe yet. John 20, verse 21. "So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As my Father has sent me, I also send you.'" Now, what did he send us to do? Well, Paul is very specific. In fact, it was Luke wrote Acts. Acts 20, verse 24. But my life is worth nothing to me. Or was that Paul? I just need to doubt, sorry. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. What? The work of telling others. You got that? The work of telling others. What? The good news, the gospel, about the wonderful grace of God. That is what my work is, friends. Friends, our purpose is to share the good news with other people. The Lord says that once I know the good news, that God loves me, that Jesus redeemed me, that Jesus gave his life that I may have life, that Jesus' blood cleanses me from all unrighteousness, that I have been reconciled to God, and that as a child of God, God has a plan and purpose for me, then I am to pass that on to others. Do you agree with that, friends? People are searching for the meaning of life and have tried to find freedom in their choices, in their power and possession and position and even religion. But sometimes they still come up feeling empty and discontent. And until they are shown what it means to have true freedom in Jesus Christ, they will always be looking, friends. God doesn't expect us to do anything. He doesn't expect us to do everything, but he certainly expects us to do something. Not all of us are called to be preachers and teachers and leaders in the church, but we are all called to tell the world about Jesus. Do you agree with that? Every one of us. We are called to make disciples, to love our neighbors. No one is excused from proclaiming the truth of the gospel to others. Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15, in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Paul says in Romans 10 verse 14, but how can they, talking about those who are not believers yet, how can the unbelievers, call on him, Jesus, to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Do you see that, friends? This is not just me being all excited. No. This is the word of God. This is the word of God to you and I, friends. We must boldly and joyfully speak of how great God is, how freeing he is, and how Jesus has saved us from sin and death and has given us eternal life. Friends, opportunities to share the good news are all around us. They are staring you in the face every single day. You just have to be ready for them. God wants to use you. There are many ways he can use you to be a witness. You can perhaps simply say, this is what God did for me in my life. I told you many years ago, I went to go to the University of Calgary to share the gospel with some students. And the first one let me share and share and share. And then the person said to me, hey, Keith, thank you for sharing, but I'm already a saved Christian. Said, I wanted you to practice. I went to another guy, older guy, shared the gospel with him, and he burst out into tears because he was going through a very difficult divorce. I went to another person and they said, hey, move on. Leave us alone. Then I went to this person. She's obviously from Asia. And she said, as I'm talking about Jesus and what he did, she said, just hold on. She says, I believe in this crystal ball that floats around. You know, this new age crystal ball, you know. And that, and I said, oh, so I don't know anything about that. But I said, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. And as I shared my personal testimony, tears began to run down her cheeks. Because now suddenly, it wasn't some kind of philosophy that she believed in. But suddenly, Jesus became real to her. Do you see that, friends? You find all kinds of response, but that shouldn't deter you. Or should, do you say, shouldn't stop you? Deter. You from sharing. This is what Jesus has done for me. For Wednesday nights, we have a time of sharing. But there's always a Bible study so that we can write some notes and we can apply it and appropriate the Word of God. And one night I shared of how to prepare testimony so that you're always ready to give an account, to give a reason for the hope that you have. How to prepare testimony. Write it out. And then just recently I shared up what is the gospel. Because in your testimony, you will come to a place where you need to share the gospel so that your listener, they too, can come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Friends, sadly, some people have wrongly concluded over the years that since it is God's will that all people should be saved, he then doesn't need us to help him. That's the misconception. Since it's God's will, he doesn't need human involvement. You know, 200 years ago, William Carey and other missionary pioneers had to argue with leaders and heads of denominations that foreign missions was God's will. Why? Why did they need to do that? Because some religious leaders around them contended that if God wanted the heathen to be saved, he will do it himself. He didn't need our help. Why should we interfere? If we trusted God's wisdom, they insisted we would do nothing. God alone picks and chooses who to be saved. Didn't Jesus give his life as a ransom for all people? Mm-hmm. Hey, friends. Shouldn't we be telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God? Or should we just sit back and say, we'll leave it up to them? Friends, they are clearly wrong. Why? Let's read Matthew 28. Verse 18 and 19. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority has been given me to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Paul says to Timothy in verse 7 of our text, and for this purpose, I was appointed a herald. You know what a herald does? He proclaims and makes an announces. That's what a herald does. And I was made an apostle. I am telling the truth. I'm not lying. Another version says, I'm not exaggerating. and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. People became saved, friends, when those who are already saved speak the truth about what God has done in Jesus Christ and extend an invitation for people to come to Jesus, that they too may know him whom to know is life eternal. I know, friends, that there are people here who feel unworthy to share the gospel with others. But I want to remind you, friends, that none of us are perfect, even on our best days. Do you agree with that? You are not perfect, even on your best day. What we do never converts anybody. We've never saved anybody. Only the good news about what Jesus did can do that. Paul urges us to live peaceful, godly lives. He urges us to pray for everyone, including those we want to share the gospel with. People, friends, may not show it, but they want someone like you to share the good news of Jesus with them. You know, when I visit Ellen at the hospital, you know, I get so pumped. I come back from there, I'm excited, I tell Ellen everything. Ellen looks for opportunities to share the gospel with someone. She's spoken to nurses and visitors and fellow people in the wards. This is what builds me up, friends, that they want someone like you to share. Yet we are afraid and we feel we don't know enough. One day I was sharing the gospel with someone and they asked me a difficult question. I didn't suck anything out of my thumb. I said, you know, that one I don't know, but I'll find out. Isn't that true? I don't know that answer, but I'll find out for you. I was witnessing to another fellow in 1997 in Trochu, Alberta. And in the middle of my presentation of proclaiming the gospel, he said, so are there aliens? Are there aliens? I said, I don't know. But this is what I know. Do you see that, friends? There are some questions we can't answer. We can't answer, and it's okay. But there are things you can answer. You can tell. And if there's aliens, let them be. let them be. Because if God wants us to worry about that, you put it in the Bible. Friends, don't be afraid if you don't know enough. Someone cared enough to tell me. I wasn't always a Christian. In 1972, I became a Christian. Why? Someone shared the gospel with me. I got to be caring enough, friends, to tell others. If they shared with me, I got to share with others. I've said before that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. They're not saying, as you come to prepare share the gospel, where's your theological degree? Which seminary did you go to? They don't want that. They're concerned that you care about their eternity, friends. Christians are called to build bridges, or to be bridges, not walls. God expects us to make the first move. In fact, over and over again, God says the word go. You know in the Greek what that means, go. You know what in the Greek it means? As you are going. What does that mean? That this is not a one-time program. Okay? That making disciples is a lifestyle. It takes personal sacrifice and commitment, friends. Isn't that true? It is ongoing. Jesus never promised a life of comfort and prosperity for his followers. In this life, we have to go and tell. In our efforts, friends, to win others for Christ, God wants us to pray for them, because our Father, God, our Savior, wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And the truth is also, friends, that there is one God, there is one mediator between God and man, and his name is Jesus, and he gave himself as a ransom for many. That's the gospel. Paul tells us that it pleases God when anyone understands and comes to the knowledge of the truth. Peter tells us why. In 2 Peter 3 verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Isn't that true? God is not willing that any should perish. As long as there's one person on earth who doesn't know the good news, God says that we've got to keep on reaching out. We have to do our, we have the best news in the world, and we should share it. We need to reach one more. God is saying, reach one more. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 19 and 20. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing, not counting their trespasses against them, and has given us, and has committed to us, the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be saved. Friends, how will the world know if we don't tell them? How could we be ambassadors for Christ if the world doesn't hear God's plea? I want to encourage you this morning, friends. I know many people are feeling kind of guilty and like, oh, condemning of themselves because, man, I don't witness enough. I don't evangelize enough. I don't share the gospel enough. And so don't hammer yourself now, friends. Don't be hard on yourself. Listen, I want to encourage you not to give up. Keep running the race. You have the words of life. Keep fighting the fight, friends. You have the truth and the path to real freedom from sin and death in your hearts and minds. You have the hope that so many people need. Be a people that will heed Paul's words, that is, pray unceasingly, live godly lives, and share the gospel fervently. I'm encouraged by the early church in Acts 8 verse 4. I was reading that those who were scattered preached the word wherever they went. You see, those early Christians were scattered. You know why they were scattered? Because of persecution. Some fled for their lives, but listen, as they fled, they also preached. They didn't stop telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ because they truly believed in him. They were excited. They found in Jesus something they had never found before. And so Paul says to Pastor Timothy, I urge you, Timothy, I encourage you, I challenge you, I charge you, I beg you, I plead with you, I appeal to you, I'm asking you, share the gospel. If I had a cure for cancer, I would be at the hospitals now. I'll be maybe standing there by the post office with a megaphone telling the people, because every family seems to be touched by cancer. I will be telling them, hey, this is the cure for cancer. But you and I have a message that is more important than that. Amen. The cure for cancer will give you some more years, yeah. But you know what? The gospel gives you eternal life. That's what Paul says in 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy 2, verse 3 to 6. That God, our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. Friends, let the Holy Spirit put in your heart the will of God found in Psalm 67, verse 2. That your God, your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. You know, sometimes we forget. I was just reading that we should pray for the many Christians in Turkey and in Syria who have lost loved ones. You say, those countries, aren't they? No. The gospel is going forth there. And we can pray for them too. Before someone can call upon the name of the Lord, before someone can call upon the name of the Lord, there must be faith. Before faith, there must be hearing. Before hearing, there must be telling. And before telling, there must be someone surrendered to the will of God and the great commission of God. I want to conclude. The Baptist pastor Edward Pruden once reminded his congregation that every church is a product of someone's missionary activity. Every church is a product of someone's missionary activity. You can ask Dan at the back there. Dan was one of the founding members, as well as a little fellow, of this church. How did we come about? Loretta will tell you. Missionaries came through Smoky Lake and they shared the gospel. And this is how the church came to be, friends. And Edward Pruden says, every church is a product of someone's missionary activity. Every church is a monument to the missionary impulse. Every church should be reminded that it has been set down in the midst of the mission field. Every church should be reminded that it has fallen heir to the great commission which Christ gave to his disciples. I asked this question many years ago. Is someone going to be in heaven because of you? Is someone going to be in heaven because of you, friends? When you get to heaven, is someone going to come? Thank you, brother. Thank you, my dear sister. Thank you for telling me the good news. You knew it and you didn't keep it a secret. You passed it on. And I am a product of your missionary endeavor. I am the product of your evangelism. I don't know if that's the right, or evangelizing. Friends, this year, millions of people will die. Most of them will go into eternity without Jesus. That's too many, friends. If we care, we must share. If we care, we must share. We all can care. We all can help. We all can share our story of what Jesus has done for us. You don't have to go, let me read what Jesus did for Napoleon. No. What Jesus has done for me, that's what I can share. Listen what Paul says, and I'm going to close with this verse. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 and 19 and in 22 and 23, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone. Why? To win as many as possible. To the weak, I became weak. Why? To win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. Friends, Jesus is calling you to see the need to have compassion and to go and share the good news with all. God wants three things, and they are all related. The order is important. God wants us to start by praying for everyone. God wants us to live godly lives. And God wants us to share the gospel. Why? Because God wants all people to be saved. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer.